When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Happy New Year. This is episode 46 of Two Girls Talking. I'm Katie Kiley. I do Afternoon Drive Radio at 97.1 The River, Atlanta's classic hits. And I'm here with my good buddy Melissa Ruggieri, the music critic from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and she also does the music scene blog at AJC.com. We are Two Girls Talking, and with this being a new year, Melissa, I decided to drag something out of the vault here.
Okay.
That was very popular on my radio show years ago. And I've had people over the years say, where are your rock riddles? And I'm like, well, I don't know where you can find them now because I'm not doing them on the radio anymore. I'm not sure why.
I
think because everything's got to be so quick now, right?
You don't have the time that you used to have.
It's very music intensive. And so we're going to add them and see how you do with these in our rock riddle.
Can you think already?
In our podcast. Well, here's the first one. So the tease for the next podcast will be a rock riddle that I do at the end of this podcast.
Okay. So you got to listen now and then stay tuned till the end.
That's right.
Got it.
And then today is this. He has a locker at the bottom of the sea and shares his real name with a real-life monkey. His name is a knife in his professional life. A Stones hit is rumored to be about his first wife. Who is it?
Okay. So the Stones hit would be Angie.
There you go.
Except I don't remember. Of course, I immediately go to George Harrison because it seems like everybody writes a song about George Harrison's
you don't
first
know. Oh, see, this might be one of those things. In the 70s, I know his first wife because when that song came out in the 70s, it was like...
Scandalous, sort of.
He has a locker at the bottom of the sea and shares his name with a real-life monkey. His name is a knife in his professional life. A Stones hit is rumored to be about his first wife.
Now, when you say real life monkey, do you mean like a species of monkey or like a
famous monkey? M-O-N-K-E-E, a real life monkey.
Oh, that kind of a monkey.
So who have you got? Peter Tork, Mickey Dolenz.
Davy Jones.
That's the answer. Davy Jones. Whose real name is Davy Jones?
David Bowie.
There you go.
Whose birthday it happens to be on the day that we're recording this.
He has a locker at the bottom of the sea. That's Davy Jones' locker. You know that.
I would have to think about for
a long time. And a knife in his professional life is a Bowie knife.
Yeah, which I don't know knives. So
big ass hunting
knives. Okay.
And David Bowie, today's his birthday, and he passed away 4 years ago.
I can't believe it's been 4 years. I thought this was maybe
10th.
Three. Yeah, January 10th. I still remember it was like 1 a.m, of course, when I'm up and you're up too, but you know, most normal people might or not be. And I was, you know, I was just kind of scrolling through Twitter or something, and I saw a tweet from Adam Lambert that said, you know, thank you for everything, Starman, you know, RIP. And I was like, wait, what? What's he talking about? And then, you know, I started like flipping through some other Twitter accounts or going to, you know, the Billboard account or something, you know, more, you know, not legitimate. But and then I saw, you know, this breaking news reports of David Bowie's passed away. And it was almost as shocking as Prince's death because you knew nothing about him being sick. He had kept that so quiet. Nobody knew. He had just released an album and it was so unexpected. And I just sat there in shock for a few minutes, like, how is this possible? You know, I mean, when you hear about these deaths like that,
by the way, when you were just saying you saw it on Twitter, that's what Twitter and TMZ are the best things for, because sadly, that's how you find your news first, usually, right?
Right. Well, apparently Adam Lambert had a good source because
he was
one of the first people to have commented on it. And obviously you could see, you know, David Bowie would have been a huge influence on him as well. So I get all that. But yeah, I mean, I think I did see his first, and then it was, you know, the AP and, you know, CNN and other news sources that were confirming it after that. But I know.
It's such an amazing musician.
It really was.
I think one of the amazing things too, Melissa, is how they kept it so quiet that we had no idea that he had been sick, and he had to have been sick for a while.
Especially in this day and age. Yeah. He had that off-Broadway show at the time that he was working on. And, you know, of course, then you find out. I mean, there were just a handful of people who knew how sick he was and, you know, how he had started to look frail and that type of thing. But yeah, it really is pretty incredible that he was able to keep it private.
Yep. That's
the
way
end.
He wanted it.
Yeah.
With such a career. My first memories of David Bowie, when I think about it, growing up in Atlanta, I can remember my brother and I in my mother's bright yellow Gran Torino driving down the road right off of Peachtree Street and listening to Ground Control. And I just remember thinking, of course, it was Space Odyssey, not Oddity, you know, all those things in your young mind, but just loving that song. And that was when it was a hit and
right.
first came out. You
well,
know?
It sounded so different from everything. And even though mine was probably a decade later, I was the MTV era, was really my introduction to David Bowie. You know, I've talked about my sister, who's a decade older than I am, how much, you know, so much of what she listened to influenced me, like Fleetwood Mac and Barry Manilow and Billy Joel, Elton John, all that. She really wasn't a big Bowie person. So I wasn't necessarily that familiar with Bowie. But then, you know, 83, 84, when Let's Dance came out, I was immediately riveted by this guy. And of course, the video for China Girl, I remember my mother being a little uncomfortable. Actually, I was pretty uncomfortable watching that video with her in the room. Sort of like, you know kind of sometimes when you're embarrassed by something, you'll start talking really fast while something like is on the screen that you don't necessarily want to be paying attention to. I did that a lot during
I've got to tell you something that's funny. You're saying that. I don't even know if I've ever seen that video.
No.
And that goes to show the difference in our ages.
Interesting.
Because I was out in clubs and drinking and having a grand time. I was in my early 20s, but you would have been right
yes.
there. And so MTV, I really hardly ever watched.
And I watched it for hours and hours and hours a day. I would come home from school and lay on the floor of our family room and turn on MTV. And my mom would watch it with me a lot, actually. I mean, she still, to this day, keeps up with, you know, who's doing what or, you know, who's this Billie Eilish person, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can't say she likes a lot of the current people, but, you know, it's okay. But, you know, she still remembers all the MTV people and everything. And, you know, there came a point, though, where she was like, do you need to watch this 4 hours a day? And I still like to say to her to this day, well, you know, it kind of came in handy that I
That's
was
right.
watching it. Because I did. I learned a lot about music. You know, I read a lot, too. But still, watching MTV really was formative for me in so many ways. And well, now you need to go online and see the China Girl video because, you know, he's just sort of kissing and rolling around in the sand with with his China
that
Girl.
That doesn't even
and,
sound good, rolling around in the sand.
No, it's really not. It wouldn't be my thing, that's for sure.
Painful.
There's no sand involved in my life in any way.
Oh, that's
but,
so
but that Let's Dance album and that single really just captivated me because I had started playing the drums around that time, too. And the beat of that was so different than anything. And I knew who Nile Rodgers was. I knew of Chic. Now, that was a group I knew from my sister because, you know, the disco era and everything. But I hadn't, you know, put two and two together until I think, you know, Mark Goodman or somebody was talking about it on MTV. But Nile Rodgers was so instrumental in literally in the sound of that album and those songs, you know, China Girl and Modern Love, those three tracks
yep.
especially, they were so different than what Bowie had done.
Big time.
And it ushered him into the MTV era. You know, I mean, for people like me who might not have been as familiar with the 70s stuff and the Ziggy Stardust era and everything. And then, of course, but that's the beauty of something like an MTV that you just, and even today, you discover an artist on Pandora or whatever, and then you're like, oh, this person's been around for 15 years. And, you know, you go back and just like how Motley Crue has people still come into their shows because they saw The Dirt. And these kids might not have ever heard of Motley Crue and, you know, with Girls, Girls, Girls. And now
that's
they
right.
know. And I did that. I went back and did my research on Bowie and kind of went, oh, wow, this guy was really cool.
Well, and the fact that it played so well for his persona. He was such a chameleon.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I can remember when I was young thinking just, wow, how freaky he was when he was young. I mean, mm-hmm. he was. And then you read all the stories about, you know.
Well, the androgyny was something that wasn't, I mean, you know, you had Elton in that period, but.
Yeah, but no, Bowie, you knew, had a wife
yes.
or,
right.
you know, had kids and stuff, but then he was with Mick Jagger. You know,
right.
all these stories you'd hear
right.
and you're just like, really?
Right. Stories and, you would read in magazines because you weren't seeing them on TMZ.
That's exactly right. I met him a couple of times
mm-hmm.
and it was very interesting because he was an imposing figure in just his elegance.
Yes.
The beauty of him.
That's
and he
a great
didn't
word
have
for
a lot
him.
To say. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, I remember being once at a dinner with him and it was a long table with a bunch of people from radio and records. And the other time was the Glass Spider tour.
Oh yeah.
And it was backstage for that. But when you're talking about Nile, let's talk about Stevie Ray Vaughan on Let's Dance.
On Let's Dance. I mean, that's an interesting little tidbit.
Oh
there.
My gosh. I just think at the time, I don't remember being that blown away by it because it wasn't that 83? What was
83
the year?
Is when the album came out.
Okay,
yeah.
so that's
yeah.
when I started mm-hmm. in radio in Atlanta. Stevie Ray Vaughan was just getting ready to come out, or had he just come out with Pride and Joy?
That I don't remember.
It was right around the same time.
Okay.
But David Bowie gave him this big, huge start with that album. At the time, listening to it, Stevie Ray Vaughan was so young and new, and Bowie, it was such a different thing for him
mm-hmm.
that I didn't put it together. But now when you listen back,
right.
you hear the guitar and you're like, holy crap, that's Stevie Ray Vaughan.
It's incredible to, like, when you say, when you realize it.
Yeah.
Sort of like when you know the answer to a riddle.
That's right. When you know it ahead of time and you hear it, it sounds different.
You're like, oh, well, yeah, that makes total sense now. Yeah, I mean, hearing Stevie Ray, knowing that it's Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, it's sort of like knowing something that's, you know, Clapton after the fact. Like, and you kind of go, well, yeah, of course that sounds like Clapton. Or of course that sounds like Dwayne Allman.
Right, but their style is unique. Yeah. And you wouldn't think that this Texas blues rock guitarist is going to work on this dance album.
Especially what Nile Rodgers was doing with Bowie then, because apparently it came as a surprise to Tony Visconti, David Bowie's longtime producer. They had done the last four albums together. And Tony found out through like a friend that, oh, by the way, David's been in the studio with somebody else and it's not you. And David apparently wanted hits. I mean, he kind of got to the point in his career where he, and MTV, you know, was really giving such a huge platform to artists that he was like, you know, I want part of that too. You know, I want to be back on the radio and, you know, pop radio. And Nile's pedigree, starting with Chic and just all the stuff. I mean, talk about a guy whose career is just amazing. I mean, with Madonna and, you know, I mean, you could Cher. I mean, he's touring with Cher still. I mean, he opens for Cher, which is just phenomenal. But the fact that Tony Visconti didn't know that, you know, that David Bowie wanted to go in this direction, it damaged their relationship. They didn't work together for 20 years after that. It wasn't until the Heathen album that they got back together, because Tony was really wounded by that. They obviously were close again when he died, because Tony was certainly giving a lot of interviews after his death and, you know, expressing his sorrow and everything. So thankfully, you know, that got patched up. But you know, you can't give an artist a hard time for wanting to go in a different direction. And especially
Stevie Ray
Bowie.
He kind of dissed him too.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was like Stevie Ray Vaughan was supposed to open up for him on that tour.
Yeah.
But Double Trouble, there was some kind of argument with the management. And literally, like, Stevie Ray Vaughan's manager went onto the bus and took Stevie Ray Vaughan's guitar off the bus and was like, you're not touring with him. You're not going to do this.
Could you imagine, though?
They're messing with you.
Wouldn't it be funny? To me, it's kind of comical to actually think of the audience going to see David Bowie and then Stevie Ray Vaughan being the opening act.
You know,
talking about two disparate
groups of people. But wouldn't it have been something to have been there and say,
sure.
Oh my God, I saw when Stevie Ray Vaughan opened for David Bowie.
Sure.
One of the funniest things to me, though, about it, too, is that David Bowie, it was in the Let's Dance video.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that video.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's wearing gloves and he's playing the guitar, and it's not him playing the guitar.
Right.
And
right.
apparently that didn't go over well with Stevie Ray Vaughan when it was like, dude, you're pretending to play my
stuff
with the white gloves on.
Well, Bowie didn't play any instruments on that album, which was, I think, the first time that he hadn't played anything, because he usually is very prolific.
Instrumentalist.
But,
yes.
You know, Nile is also, you know, the same way. And I guess Bowie just liked the way things sounded with Nile behind the, you know, in the booth and everything. And they just let him kind of take the reins on it. But I know at the time they're, you know, reading back about stuff some of the magazines had to say about the album, there was a lot of like, what's he doing here? You know? And then, of course, when you reflect on it 20 years later, it's like, yeah, that was a really good album.
That's what it really is. That you sit there and you just shake your head at the time. And now you're like, he was so ahead of his time.
Right.
Always.
Right.
Always.
Right.
There wasn't anything that he ever did that you would sit back and look and go.
Pedestrian.
No, he definitely wasn't that. He's for real. He was for real.
Yeah.
That kind of an artist. And we're missing a lot of that, I think, nowadays.
We are. But, you know, what's really cool is that there are still so many ways that people can still remember him and experience the music. I mean, you and I went to that great show a couple of years ago. This is a year after he died, I think, that his band members went on tour. And, you know, we're doing Bowie songs. And that was just really cool to see, because these were the people who shared the stage with them so much. And we've actually got a show coming up here on January 24th. It's the music of David Bowie with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra.
Which I saw last time it came in. It's amazing because it lends itself so beautifully to orchestration. And the guy that sings the Bowie stuff, I we should know his name. I don't know who it is.
Oh, actually, he's a Broadway guy. His name is Tony Vincent.
Holy cow, he's amazing. And he's got the theatricality that Bowie had. But it's a great show. Is it touring in a lot of places?
I don't see any other dates, actually. I think we might be the only one for now. I mean, it seems like the kind of group that maybe is just doing some one-offs, you know, here and there.
Okay,
so,
if you have a chance to see it, gotta see it.
Yeah, January 24th, go to Symphony Hall and check that out. And then also, Bowie's birthday, to remember him, they're actually releasing a 6-track EP of unreleased stuff. Today, the first one came out, the version of The Man Who Sold the World. They recorded it on a BBC broadcast back in 1997, which was Bowie's 50th birthday. It's released digitally. And then starting on January 17th, they're going to release one song a week for the next 5 weeks from this thing, which are all songs that, you know, songs that you know, but just versions of things that you didn't know or haven't heard or might not have been able to hear. Something else really cool that I discovered today, just doing some research. There was this church in Amsterdam that today for Bowie's birthday was playing a version of Life on Mars on the church bells. And if you go online, it's actually this guy, he's a weatherman in England. His name is Peter Gibbs. If you search for him on Twitter, he must be in Amsterdam, or I don't know if he lives there or whatever. But he has the video that's online that you can hear these church bells playing. And it's really cool. It's a really kind of special thing. And who knows? I mean, it's just when you think about who works at the church who went, hey, here's what we should do to celebrate Bowie's birthday at a church and Life on Mars. I mean, let's do a church bell style. And that's the other thing, too. The person running the bells. I mean, that's kind of hard. I would like to know how all that came off, actually.
Isn't that something?
So that's worth checking out if you want. So, you know, I think Bowie's the kind of artist who there's always going to be something. There's like Prince, you know, I mean, there's always going to be a trove of unreleased material that's going to dribble
because
out.
Think of all the recordings that they did and with so many different people, too. There's got to be all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
You think about the work that he did with Queen. Who knows what they've got
know.
There? Seriously.
Wow, that would
with
be
Freddie
really
Mercury,
cool to hear.
There
some,
could be some
say,
other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be some really cool stuff to hear. So, you know, I don't think we're going to have any shortage of David Bowie's memory in at least the next decade, probably. And that's one cool thing about technology today and just the various platforms that you can hear things today is that it's not as if they, you know, have to press it and release it in some formalized way. It's, hey, it's online.
And his son, I think, has a lot to do with everything that they're putting out in his name, which I think is really the way it should be done.
Yes, that is the way it should be done. So
love him. Yeah. Well, remembering David Bowie this week. And for our podcast next week, how about a little tease?
Okay.
You already know who it is.
I do. It helps to have the answers in front of
you. That's right. Okay, we're going to give you a rock riddle. This will be who we're focusing on next week. And we will give you the answer to the rock riddle next week. Early on in their career, they took flight with wings. After 50 years, their lead singer still sings. When they looked in the mirrors, we thought they were done. They came back bigger than ever, thanks to a walk and a run.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who it is?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to sing until next
week. Because I have the answers. I know who
there
it
you go.
Is.
All right. And Melissa, how can they find us? If you have any questions or have any suggestions too for podcast.
Yeah. Our Facebook page, Two Girls Talking, our Gmail account, twogirlstalking11@gmail.com, both numbers there. Or you can find us anywhere you find your podcasts.
There you go. We'll be back with you next week. Have a great week.